Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, guys, welcome back to episode 180.
Not bad. Could do better. Do another one. Right, reload that.
180.
Yes, nice.
Guys, welcome back to Rickshaw's Golf Show podcast, everybody. This is a Friday special, a little pre-weekend treat for you all. I'm here, your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy and also special co-host number two today, Mia Baker.
Yes.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for being on the podcast, Mia.
Thanks for having me. It's such a treat for me to be here.
You were up in Manchester, and we were like, we've done an episode with Mia many, many, many moons ago.
Yes.
I couldn't even imagine what episode
I'm
going to
say 47, top of my head.
Don't know.
Really?
I'll have a look.
We're in a hotel room.
Oh, taking a turn.
That's a lie. That's just a total lie. I just made that up. You know, that's just pure internet gossip.
Yeah, definitely. There's gonna be rumours. I've got some questions to answer when I get home, yeah. I'm sure.
We're in a hotel restaurant. There we go.
We were at the Marriott and it felt like COVID time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And we did a podcast with Mia and we talked about the story of your kind of upbringing, your new upbringing into the world of golf. And at that point, your career was really starting to kind of on the up. Since that, you have gone to the moon.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think you've gone everywhere else but the moon. I would dread to think how many air miles you've clocked up.
Yeah, I've done a lot of those.
However, I actually think something you might have surpassed air miles with, Instagram stories.
Yes.
Oh, I love an Insta story.
So if you don't follow me, Mia, make sure you check her out on Instagram and follow her journey. You've also just set up a behind the scenes Instagram account as well, yeah. I see.
So basically, people are like, oh, you only do golf. And I'm like, I do have other hobbies. Or like if I want to post, you know, me playing the piano or me doing something different that isn't golf. I just don't know where to put it.
Why do people not want it on your normal page?
I don't know. You just kind of feel like maybe they don't. People are there for the golf. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
How then has your, and like I say, this is more kind of a co-host, but I also want to dive into a little bit of what you've been up to in the last kind of 12 months, 18 months since we saw you last. Right now, would you still classify yourself as a new golfer?
I don't know. When do you graduate?
It's a great question, actually.
Actually, Rick graduates you.
Yeah.
This is not a big surprise. Congratulations. You are here at the Rick Shields graduation.
You are now an official golfer.
Woo-hoo.
But the thing is, you swing it, you hit it much, much better than a new golfer. You feel like you've gone past that stage now where I would say, you might correct me, you probably hit more good shots than you hit bad shots now.
Mm-hmm. But I would say my golf brain, in terms of being out on the course, is still the same as someone who's only been playing for like 3 years.
You've probably not got enough experience for that just yet, have you?
Yeah.
Really? Because that is a different world, isn't
That's what takes time. I've seen it with my friends who play football growing up, quite athletic, and quite quickly can get good at hitting a golf ball, long drives, a flush 7-iron. But it's those little intricate shots and maybe plotting your way around when things aren't going so well. That's what takes time to kind of really build, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like I've got so much golf knowledge and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. The execution, I'm still working on that, you know what I'm saying?
It takes time. Like, I think what you would have missed out on, and we spoke about it loads on the podcast, I started when I was 11.
Mm.
Were you about the same guy?
I was seven. Same time as you, because I'm younger, but I was seven.
So...
a bit younger.
But I'm younger. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was both in like 97, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
So back in 97, when the Tiger Woods and the boom of golf started to really go crazy, I would dread to think how much time I spent on the golf course between the age of 11 and 16.
Yeah.
Even though it was only 5 years of real life, I reckon that was 15 years worth of golf.
In those years.
Yeah. I think that was 15 years worth of golf in those 5 years.
Summer holidays every single day.
Every single day. These are the things you missed out on, Mia. You might have been learning the piano and doing all this other really interesting
things.
Being
clever and stuff.
And being dead clear.
We were finding top lights in the trees, weren't we?
You might have been traveling the world, globetrotting. No, if you've not dug in a dirty ditch for an old golf ball, are you really even a golfer?
Well, question for you then. We do a bit of practice now, don't we? Not as much as we probably should do, really. I would say most of my golf practice to get to a half decent level was done at those ages.
I would agree.
Like once you've kind of got that certain level of golf.
You're not giving me any hope.
Yeah, but you're doing it now.
But that's what's interesting is, and you are part of a very popular trend recently of newer golfers coming to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it all the time in comments on the videos and comments on the podcast. A lot of people now are in your situation. They didn't grow up playing golf like me and Guy did.
Yeah.
They've done it similar to you where you've taken on kind of as an adult and you've now developed it into a passion and something you're really interested in. It's just a different way of doing it. Because also as a kid, I always thought that you make mistakes and you don't care. As a kid, you kind of get angry
and
you get frustrated, but you've still got tomorrow. You've got the day after. As an adult, because we're more rational and we kind of make more sense of the world, I would personally find it more frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And you have to work a job and you have to have a family and your kids. And you're like, well, I can't really go and play Saturday and Sunday because I'll probably get killed by my wife or my husband.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have such a smaller amount of time to try and play.
But it works both ways though, because although I agree with what you're both saying, when I was 15, 16 and I had school and golf, that was all I had in my life really. Golf was so important. If I played bad in a junior comp, I'd almost go home in tears.
Oh, I would, yeah.
Whereas now, if I play bad, I've got a babe to go home to, a wife, a job. It's like, yeah, I'm annoyed, but I've got other things to take my mind off it and more important, obviously. Was when I was a junior, I was absolutely... I remember being on holiday, missing junior comps, texting my mates, who won, what did they shoot, what the handicap come down to, and almost like I said, Neil was in tears. I'm on a lovely family holiday, but I'm not at the golf course in the junior midweek roll up.
See, I feel like I'm you. Like, I could be in tears because I'm that stressed because I want to be that good. Yeah. But I just suck.
That's what golf does to you.
How much, with all the things going on right now, yeah. And to be honest, a lot of listeners might not follow you already. How almost would you even describe your kind of who you are right now? You know, you're a presenter of golf.
Mm-hmm.
You're an author.
Mm-hmm.
You are
children's author, not like a proper book.
I don't want to use the word influence, but you're somebody of social media status that promote. You have connections with clothing companies still,
mm-hmm.
retail mm-hmm. manufacturers, equipment manufacturers. Mm-hmm. What are you right now? Like, what? How do you? If you had a business card and you were to hand it out to somebody, what would it say underneath your name?
Hi, my name's Mia Baker, and I am a golf entrepreneur.
Oh wow, nice!
I like that. Address the moon.
No, you know what it is? Is a lot of you guys who are in golf now started in golf. I started not in golf. So as soon as I tried to get into the industry, well, I wasn't even trying, but like I fell into the industry, I had to change everything I was doing because you don't directly make any money from Instagram. So you have to try and find another way that you can get your income. So then you do like presenting because that obviously helps you be able to like, I don't know, just pay for your YouTube channel,
yeah.
pay for your Instagram channel, take those days that you need. You know yeah, exactly yeah, what it's like. So yeah, I had to quickly pivot and do what I can. And it's been honestly so wonderful.
And I can't remember if you'd brought the book out from when our last podcast.
I don't think you had. Mm-mm.
Because the story of that, you actually wrote that on a plane, right?
On a plane, yeah. So I forgot my headphones on the plane up to the AIG Women's Open in 2021.
That was Carnoustie.
When we met Carnoustie, yeah, 21. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm feeling inspired. And then I just wrote it on the notes of my phone and I showed everyone around, like the teams up there. And they were like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. I was like, I'm going to make a book. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, awesome. 3 months later, I had my book and they were like, huh? You actually did what you said you were going to do? And I was like, yeah, of course I am.
So are you quite determined in a lot of this? It's what I think from the outside, you come across as very bubbly and very friendly. But is there a real kind of business entrepreneur behind?
Just before you answer that, I just want to jump in with something that I was going to say, if I think we'll do it now, is a perfect segue. There's a comment from Tom Cotton on our Facebook page. And he says, I picked Mia's book up at American Golf not so long ago. I read it to my 2-year-old in bed most nights. He absolutely loves it. Top work. So there you go.
Thank you so much, Tom. I literally said to Rick a second ago, before we even started this podcast, I was like, can I gloat to you for a second? And he's like, what do you want to gloat to me about? He didn't say that, but effectively. And I was like, so basically, someone actually bought my book and they wrote something so nice about me on Instagram and sent me a DM how they took it into their school and they showed all their friends in their class and they invited all their friends. This is a little kid we're talking about. Invited all their friends to go and play golf with them after. Wow,
that is really good. I must admit, you were very nice and you sent me a couple of copies and you signed it for my kids. And I read it a lot of times to my children. They really like it. I think they like it because they've met you as well. So it's like, oh my, that woman we met wrote that book. Because they don't get to meet many authors or whatever it may be. But again, it's a sign, and I think real credit to yourself in this, because there's a lot of people who say they're going to do stuff and don't do it. Mm. A lot of things that I've seen you do across your kind of 3 years, whatever it's been, journey, when you say you're going to do something, you do it. Mm-hmm. When you say you're going to run women's nights at pitch, you did it. When you're talking about being an author, you did it. When you're talking about whatever you might do next, who knows what bloody next is. When you want to, you know, when you set up a podcast, you set up a podcast, you did it. You've set up a YouTube channel, you've done it. And I think there's a lot of, you should be very proud of yourself with that and a lot of credit, because it's very easy in this day and age to kind of put something on social media. Oh yeah, I'm going to do this. And it kind of just fizzles out. Mm. I've seen it loads of times, but I must admit there's a lot of times where you'll say it and I'm like, yeah, she'll do it. It's going to happen.
Because I love it. I enjoy it. And I also, I have this thing inside me where I just want to learn every single skill ever. So if anyone were to speak to me, I'd be like, oh yeah, boats. Yeah, I know so much about boats, even though I know frickin' nothing about boats. But I probably studied boats one day and built a boat because I just wanted to see how they did it.
Have you always been like that, quite inquisitive?
Yeah, my dad said I was really annoying growing up. Probably says I'm still quite annoying now, but I was like, Why? You know, that little kid.
Yeah.
You're like, the sky's blue because it's, you know, blue. Why? And you're like, for God's sake, I want to strangle you.
But I must admit, as a parent, it tests you because you're like, oh, I don't really know. I better find out.
Google is your friend.
Yeah, Google. Well, this is probably, yeah.
I love Google. He's my best friend.
One thing that I think I would like to dive into, because the last couple of weeks it's been quite heavy, and I remember talking about this, and at the moment you're currently sipping water from a Masters Cup. Yay. Sat on an Augusta National Golf Club napkin.
Because someone in this room has been to the Masters, you may not have heard.
You may not have heard.
Was there the Masters recently?
Is that event that's not quite as good as the Open? That's the one?
I am quite interested to know, like, because I'm not going to bring up, well, I'm going to have to now. There was a time where you didn't quite understand why people liked Tiger Woods so much. Is that still something?
So the frustrating thing about me having started so late in golf is I knew nothing about golf before I started golf. Like, I didn't know what a par was. I didn't know what a green was. You know, it's like the ultimate beginning, as opposed to, I didn't know any players. I knew nobody. And people were like, how can you not know them? You're so stupid. And I'm like, I can't. I just didn't know. I just had never been around it. And so Tiger Woods, I know now that he is a legend. But the first time I ever saw Tiger Woods play, he doubled the first. And I'm like, dude, I doubled the first.
I'm out with it. So basically, you're trying to say you're as good as Tiger Woods. I get it.
Yeah,
exactly that.
And then what about golf tournaments? Have you got invested in golf tournaments just yet?
I understand why people like it and it kind of brings people together, but I don't think I'm like obsessed with it yet. I've been to a lot of female tournaments, so I do a lot of work on the females tour, and I love that because I know all the girls, like they're like my really good friends. The guys, I just don't know as well. I've not learned about it as much. The Masters is this super exclusive, under wraps tournament that no one shares. Like, how am I meant to find out about it apart from talking to people who know about the Masters?
I think as well, what's interesting with this is that me and Rick, we've kind of alluded to this already, grew up in quite an authentic golf background, didn't we? We started as youngsters and joined a golf club and played competitions and tucked our polo shirts into our trousers and all these kind of things that were all the things that you do. But what I also think is refreshing with what you're saying is that people start golf at different ages, different stages in their life. And not everyone has to kind of like the same thing. So some people, when you go to a golf club, you'll see on the first tee with a motor caddy, the Stealth 2 driver, everything's pristine, Jay Lindeberg clothes, and they might love the Masters and love social media and everything. Other people you might see have got an old battered set of clubs, but they don't care. They want to go out, walk 4 miles, get some fresh air and hit a little ball into a hole. Yeah. And that's their perception of golf. And there's like a sliding scale and there's no right side to be on. So you obviously love golf and love creating content, but the fact that you might not love the events as much or might not feel the same way towards Tiger, it's kind of also fine, isn't it?
You know what? I think adults who get into golf are very fundamental and important to the development and growth of the game of golf. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that everybody started playing golf when they were younger and children, and almost they got taught how everything was operated. And that's what you learn. That's all you know. So you're never really going to question it. Like, you're never really going to push boundaries. You're never going to say, well, why is it like that? Why do I need to do that?
Yeah.
Where I do think if you come into it later on in life and you've got fresh eyes and you've got different opinions, you came straight in and went, well, why are ladies got golf clothes like this?
Yeah.
Why do we have to, why does it have to be like this? And if adults who came new into the game weren't asking those questions, I don't think golf would ever actually develop as quick as it is doing and quick as it has done now. Fashion is changing so much in golf right now.
Oh my God, massively.
Like, and that isn't through you and me growing up as kids playing golf, because that's kind of all we've known, and that's almost our uniform is a polo.
You accept it. Everyone's like, but this is what I wear to golf. And everyone who's new is like, but why?
Yeah, exactly. So new people coming in push those boundaries and go, well, do we have to? And I think that's really important. And again, it'll be similar with golf tournaments. Well, how do I watch it? I personally hate the fact that tournaments are behind paywalls. Like, I find that so frustrating. I understand the business side of it all. But, you know, little Timmy who's 10, how's he going to watch golf unless his mum and dad have got Sky?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to happen as much anymore, is it?
It's so true.
No, and that's the thing. That's why social media and YouTube is doing so well, because it is so much more accessible. And also, again, like that sliding scale we had before, not everybody is bothered at watching who is the best golfer on the planet. A lot of people are, hence why they watch the Masters and watch the Open. But without being rude, and Rick won't mind me saying this, people aren't watching Rick to watch the best golfer on the planet. They're watching someone who's relatable, entertaining. And same with your content. Anyone who's not on a tour, if you're not a tour pro, people aren't watching your videos for you, how good at golf you are, because they're not. Watching for other reasons, and there's more and more avenues now to consume golf content. And what's also really exciting is, like yourself, there's more people coming into the world of golf content creation from different worlds. You've got yourself, who's come from a totally different world. You've got Tubes, who's come from a football background, who's now coming into golf. I think the original way, like where Rick came from, was quite a clean cut PGA Pro, which was great, and there was definitely a market for that. There's more and more diversity coming into the golf space now. Will it be in 5 years? And will that then change the game? Once these brands can see there's markets out there for more fashionable clothes or more irreverent things, whatever that may or may not be, they'll start producing it, which opens up to more people, which they start buying in. All these brands are going to sell stuff, basically, don't they? Mm-hmm. The more stuff they can sell, the better they are. And if there's a market for hoodies, people will buy hoodies and they'll make more money, etc.
Have you all, in your period of time playing golf, have you seen quite a dramatic change?
Huge change. Like when I first started, everyone on social media, in my opinion, were like really, really good at golf. And I was like, I'm the only awful person.
I was the status quo.
Yeah.
It was a PGA golf professional, male, typically PGA golf professional of a certain age. That's what it was.
And that's something, a lot that we joke then about like relatability. You need to improve like three or whatever. Compared to the average person, you are unbelievable at golf. So if you just started golf and you're watching someone who's a pro who can break 75 a lot, that can probably feel quite alienating to some degree.
You don't even know where to start. Literally, my friends, I'm still trying to get my friends to play golf because like not many people around me play golf. And I got a text saying, Mia, how does one play golf? And I was like, that's actually a good question. It's like, I don't know where to start. It's such a hard question to do anyway, because like, what do you start with? The equipment? Do you start with a range? How do you start at the range? How do you hold it? Like all these questions that you guys probably take for granted.
Yeah.
Well, it's questions we ask ourselves all the time, because, you know, part of legacy and what we want to leave in the world of golf, like it's in a great place now, but let's see if we can bump those numbers up. We've got to answer all those questions. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to say, well, actually this is the pathway, and it's actually a lot easier than it appears.
Yeah, but you don't even know. You're like literally starting at the point where you don't even know what the question is you need to ask.
It's that, and it's also the nerves. Like for me, you know, I'm not an amazing golfer, but I wouldn't be remotely nervous going to a new golf club and paying a green fee and playing a golf course. If I suddenly, and this is a bit of a random analogy, but if I watched the cricket on TV and thought, you know what, I wouldn't mind starting playing cricket. How on earth do I start playing cricket? And how nervous am I going to a cricket team? I don't really know the rules. I don't know if I'm any good. I don't know what position I would be playing. Like, how do I start playing cricket?
It's really, what bat do you buy? What do you wear?
White stuff, I think.
Well, yeah. You think so.
Well, that's all I know.
Yeah.
But I even get confused now. I'm like, when people are playing off the tee, who's going first? I'm like, why are you now going first? I'm like, I'm getting confused. Like, yeah, but it was my honours 3 holes ago. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely changing. I don't think we've lived in a period of time where golf is changing as quick as it is doing right now. And it's exciting. Can't wait to see what the future holds. Because, like I say, it's all these fresh new ideas. It's all these fresh new people coming into it. The barriers, the boundaries are being gradually, and I do believe this, are being starting to be opened and knocked down. It's not perfect yet, but we're getting there. And definitely yourself and others who have opened golf up to a new audience are definitely helping with a lot of that.
How
as
many
well.
Beginner golfer channels are there now? Oh,
lots.
My God.
Lots.
Trillions.
Yeah. Well, this is a good question from Jamie Galbraith. Again, these are all from Facebook. Join the Facebook page, shouldn't you, Rick?
Are you a member of the Facebook page?
I don't reckon you're a Facebook user, are you really?
Do you use Facebook?
Say yes.
No, I don't use Facebook.
Well, if you did, or imagine you've got a Facebook account, right? You've got it.
If you did.
Would you join the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group?
Oh, yeah, I would double join it.
Yeah,
know?
Okay. Well, that actually would mean you'd probably leave it. But, because once you join,
you get banned if you did that.
But there's 85,000 members of the group. It's growing. And we love people sharing their success stories as well.
I think it's just at 90,000.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it's at 90,000
people. Yeah. It's a nice vibe. It's like friendly. If you've had a hole in one, you put it on there, you get loads of likes.
That's loads.
So nice. If you break 100. And what I love as well, some people come in and go, I break 75 today. Mm-hmm. Some people go, I broke 100 today. Some people might say it's my first round of golf and I completed it and shot 120. The amount of likes everyone, you almost get more likes that the worse
the higher
score
the
score is.
I
some
love
degree.
That.
It's a great community and we use it a lot to ask questions.
There's one thing though, I'm not sure if my posts on there are restricted in some way.
I have to accept them.
because I get,
he is the restriction.
I get almost no interaction on my own post on my own group.
You haven't done anything significant enough, apparently.
It's actually, have you deleted it?
No, I haven't deleted it. It's just your posts really aren't great.
So I put on something yesterday. I'm looking for one of these currently.
Oh wow.
Oh, cute.
Why did not? That's 19 likes.
15 likes on my own page.
That's good for you. Double figures.
You know, that's hilarious.
When Rick gets double figures, we do a little dance, double figures dance. Ole, ole.
These sausage rolls got 76.
Oh, Rick, I feel a bit
some guy
now.
Got some new set of irons, he got 242.
Me asking for questions has had 93 likes today.
112 I've got. me, my own group asking for advice from my own followers and fans and 17 likes.
Well, anyway.
A picture of a golf ball plugged, 453
likes.
What
we'll
likes.
Do, we'll wrap this podcast up and Mia can give you some social media training if you like.
Yeah, engagement.
But the question I was going to get onto was from Jamie Galbraith. He says, and I want to ask you both this, is golf social media a more realistic target / aim than the tour for girls and boys growing up? So for example, I think he's getting at, if you're 12 years old now and you're loving golf, girl or boy, is becoming an influencer, quote unquote, more realistic than trying to become a tour pro?
You would expect it to be more realistic because it's in your hands to some degree. Well, it is more realistic, definitely.
You have to work hard at both, though. I feel like...
I think you do because there's more and more people doing it now. So if I was 18 years old trying to do social media in golf, I'd have to create a USP to get an audience. Same way you'd have to be so good at golf to become a tour pro. So it's different, but yet you still have to stand out.
I also think from a female perspective, there are a lot of females on social media, but there probably isn't as many as there could be on tour. And so there's probably more opportunities for you to become the best, if that makes sense, because a lot of the female who could be the best have never played golf yet or haven't ever had the opportunity to reach their potential. Say I started when I was like 3 years old, I would be so much better than I am now.
Yeah.
But like, I'm out.
I always think that, imagine if everybody, like, when I was World's Strongest Man, for example, weird analogy, I know, someone is crowned the strongest man in the world. And to be fair, they probably are because they train for it. But anything, I bet there's some, I mean, a random man in an African tribe or whatever who's never going to experience strongman competition. But if he trained, might well be. Even boxing, there must be some 6'7" Russian fella who's never boxed in his life that can beat up a bear. Who would be the best golfer on the planet if everyone played golf?
And who could beat up a bear the best?
Yes.
I'm sure, didn't Australia do something like this for the Olympics? So whatever the year the Olympics was in Australia last, was it Sydney?
I'm going to say 2002, I think it was, where Redgrave won his
fifth
medal.
I'm sure it was 2000 Sydney. Anyway, what they did in the build up to that, let's rewind 20 years or 15 years, they decided to try and almost source and categorise children at what sport they would be really good at.
Really?
So they would test children and or their height or their percentile growth.
Wow.
And go, well, you're in the 100th size percentile, you're going to go into this category.
You've got long arms, you're good at swimming,
basketball or whatever. Player or a swimmer or a whatever it may be. And somebody else who was outrageously flexible, okay, you're going to start to move into the gymnastics. I'm pretty sure that it was something like that.
That makes sense.
And imagine if every single child or these are the things you're going to be terrible at. Don't even bother there. Just don't
but,
even.
But Rick, I love playing
tough
Pokemon. I don't think anything else other than Pokemon.
They're the things that you cannot do, and there's a list of things that you're going to do in order of how good you are going to be at them.
Wow.
Yeah, but they do that for careers. I think I got librarian. Look at what I'm doing now.
You wrote a book.
Halfway there. Yeah, you wrote a book.
You could have wrote your own book and put that in the library, nice and neat.
So, like, I don't know, you could be putting off a child about something that they could be really good at. You know, some people grow later.
Yeah, but this method might not have been perfect yet, but figure out a perfect method.
Golf would be a tough one for that, though, because think about the different size and shapes. Swimming, you'd think, to some degree, if you've got long arms, long legs, or whatever, maybe. But think of the different shapes and sizes of golfers. But if everyone tried golf and everyone put in the effort...
I think it's a mental thing. You'd have to do a mental test to see if you could cope with golf.
Yeah. I can't. I'd fail that straight away.
The other thing as well, I think, and this has been proven, the fact that getting kids into as many, many different sports and letting them have so many different abilities anyway. Because the real skills you need to is balance, speed, agility, you know, coordination, you know, all of those things, the mental strength that you learn from other sports, from winning and losing, you almost become a rounded athlete and then you can just plug into any sport then, can't you really?
You do find that if you are good at other sports, golf does often come somewhat, not naturally, but you've got some level of ability. Like my friends who play football then started golf, as I said before, you do find quite quickly they can strike the ball pretty well. Does help.
I remember when I was coaching and you get a 20-odd-year-old lad come in and he's like, I've never tried golf before. Oh, do you do any other sports? And as soon as he started saying, oh, yeah, well, I play hockey, football, blah, 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 and you think, well, you're just going to be good.
Follow-on question from this then, from Paul, and this is one that we'll put more towards Mia because I think it's what's aimed at you anyway. He says, another question, you must have asked one earlier on. What does Mia think clubs could do to get more young female golfers playing? I know it's a bit of a cliche when you've been asked many times, but what do you think, if there's a couple of things golf clubs could do to make it more appealing?
I think this is what I was speaking to you about before, employing females at your golf clubs, like young females, like represent the people that you want to come in. I think that is a huge like advantage.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
I also think obviously corporate days, only in a lot of businesses, men get invited and there's women in the office who've been like, oh, I'd love to like go, but I can't play golf yet. And doing something whereby they go to the range and have group lessons, and even guys who have never played golf before, whatever. And then you have the group who go out and play, like things like that, where it's inclusive from an element of getting better, learning, as well as those who are competent enough to go out and play, I think is a good way to do it.
Yeah, I love that. I've told this before, one of my trophies, many trophies on the shelf over here.
I've got one of those too.
Is from a which one?
No, just a trophy shelf.
All right.
It's bigger and better.
One of these is from a golf event that used to take place at my local golf club every year, and we used to call it Foxes and Rabbits. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity where, I can't remember which way around it was now, I think the golfers would be the foxes and they would hit all the shots to the green. You would invite a non-golf friend, someone who'd never played golf ever before, and they would be the rabbit and they would putt.
I love that.
But only putt. So you'd work as a team, and it honestly, it was one and the golf afterwards, everyone was around in the clubhouse, there'd be a barbecue on, and you're mixing all of these golfers who are members of the golf club, let's say there's 100 of them, bringing in 100 non-golfers.
I love that. Team golf is literally the way forward.
And it might be a family member, it might be a work colleague, it might be a husband or wife, whatever it may be, a kid. But then, you know, they go, that was actually quite fun. I actually quite enjoyed that. And I think corporate days and things like you mentioned there could definitely do a bit more of that.
You go, it was fun. 18 in two, stroke in X1, you six putted, you dope.
You might have caused some divorces.
You stupid rabbit.
That's such a good idea.
We had that. My golf club, it was called Golfer, Non-Golfer, but I also quite like Fox and Rabbits. But yeah, we should do a tournament.
I actually don't think my Fox and Rabbits trophy's on there.
Yeah, could we do a tournament?
Golfers and non-golfers.
Yeah.
Golfs and Rabbits.
And I'll bring like all of the new golfers from my channel, and you bring all the like pro golfers.
Perfect. Big tournament. Let's do it.
Even kids can be part of it.
I know. 100%.
Oh my God, I love it.
It'd be cool.
Another question for you from Scott Warren. Who is your dream four ball? Now, you're in this four ball, so you've got three guests. You don't have to say Rick Shields because you're on his podcast.
I'll go and get my clubs.
I literally love Lewis Capaldi. So
nice.
Did you see he posted on weekend and been playing golf?
Yeah, I played golf with Lewis Capaldi.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
In a simulator.
Does he actually pop? Oh, right.
No, well, still, he was like a live human next to me.
Is he good?
He tried.
All right.
He tried really hard.
Yeah.
But he was out on the golf course recently.
I know, I saw that too.
With, I mean, provocative pictures, granted.
Yeah.
Have he had no top on or something?
Yeah. He was like,
classic.
He was like looking all sexy on his, like the front of a golf buggy and all this.
He's funny.
I just think he's hilarious. So
he's got a spot. Yeah. What would your golf course be as well? You can choose any golf course. It can be one you've not played or one you've played or... An easy golf course, a hard golf course?
No.
Somewhere really somewhere really exclusive.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be.
I would honestly play like a par three course.
Nice.
I love them.
Yes, I do.
And like it could be an 18-hole par three.
Okay.
Because there's not as much, not that I hate walking, but I just love hitting my next shot.
She was saying before, I showed a glimpse of the room next door. We're not giving this away too much yet. She was saying how when she plays golf, she finds it too frustrating. Once she's hit a shot, she's got that time between walking to your next shot. She's like almost too excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to be able to get to that next shot quicker.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Par three course, you lose Capaldi.
Lewis Capaldi. This is where it gets really tricky. Who would you guys pick? Can I have a moment?
I think I know who you'd put in, and I think you'll kick yourself for not putting her in.
Who?
Olivia Cowan.
Oh, I love Olivia. But I thought it was a football that I've never played.
Sorry.
No, it can be anyone. Either. Dream four ball.
Yeah, she would love to be in that four ball, to be fair.
So we'll come on to this in a minute, but you've been kind of professionally caddying for Olivia Cowan.
I don't know why. Like, I just keep picking up the bag, you know?
Is this in tournaments?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've not seen that.
So basically, I go to a lot of, like I said before, women's events, and the difference on the female tour is a lot of them don't have a regular caddy because, well, you know.
Cost?
Yeah, it is.
It is. What
to do with cost. And a lot of them are my friends, and I'm out there, and my job is to present, but then when I'm not presenting, I've got to make content and go through all my blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, what better way to support my friend, to make cracking content, and get to be out on the course, and I learned so much. It's amazing.
Do you feel much pressure?
Not at all. I just like twist the bottle cap, water, hold the banana skin. Great. You know?
Does she get the club out the bag herself, or do you hand it to her?
She kind of does that herself.
Yeah.
So you carry the bag.
I carry the
bag. And you bring vibes.
I bring vibes.
That's a big thing to bring. Mm-hmm. Positive vibes, chilled out vibes, just nice vibes.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good.
So she doesn't ask you about any advice whatsoever.
So I caddied once for Anne Van Damme. If you don't know her, she's like a
We've done a video with Anne.
Yeah.
We've done a video with Anne. She hits it a long way.
I caddied for her. We're on a par three. She was like, Mia, I think you're ready to use the rangefinder. Took it out. I was like, 320 yards. And she was like, put it away. I was like, don't Scott Scott, never doing that again.
This might cause some offence. Please don't take it offensively. I can imagine saying, give me a 6 iron, and you giving her a 9 iron, and going, oops.
I've done that to myself. Yeah,
I can just imagine you doing that.
And I also feel like there might have been a bit in you where you gave a wrong yardage as a tactic so that you would never get asked again.
Oh, yeah. You know, because there's trees and you're like kind of shaking because it's like a big job and you've never done it before, and then your cap's blowing off and then your towel's falling off and you're like, I'm the most amateur caddy.
You know what I would love to see, and it'd be hard to measure this because there's all these theories now, people saying, oh, Rory shouldn't be using his best friend Harry Diamond as his caddy because he should have a more professional caddy and blah, blah, blah. I'd love to see an experiment, I don't know how you'd do it, where you get a professional golfer, play 18 holes, they have an absolutely amazing caddy in terms of statistically. They say it's 1-5-2 to the flag, wins doing this, but then they're quite like robotic versus a friend who doesn't really play golf, who's got great banter and atmosphere and vibes, just give them the bag. See what the actual difference would be. Is one better than the other? I guess a hybrid's the best, but
Olivia is one of those players. She knows her own game.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'll do it. I don't need you to tell me. And any of us like, no. And I'm like, okay.
I think it also depends on the person.
Yeah, it does.
Like, I think I would prefer someone almost giving me directions.
Really?
Yeah. I think I would want someone to go, it's this, I think you should hit this. Because I quite like that kind of like almost passing on the responsibility and them going, you need to hit 7-iron here. And I think I'd be pretty trusting on that.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd be the other way. If I'm playing well in a comp and I'm going down 18, I'd rather somebody go in, what are you watching on Netflix at the minute? And just take my mind off it completely. What are you having for tea tonight? And then when it's the ball, it's like, and then I can get in the zone and I just pick my own number and probably thin it through the green anyway. But it's different. You want to be a bit of both, I guess.
I need someone like hand holding me the whole way and be like, it's going to be all right.
You, Lewis Capaldi, Olivia Cowan, and then give me someone really random that might not even play golf. Like a celebrity that you've always wanted to meet, a hero, a film star.
Like if he was alive, I'd have gone like down the Steve Jobs route, you know?
That would be a great shout.
I just think they're so fascinating, that type of person. Shout, even like Elon Musk, like just think they're like really interesting people.
You, Lewis, Olivia Cowan, Elon Musk.
Well, another one that kind of...
Can I film it?
Yeah. One that follows on from this then, for the pair of you, it's a bit of a battle here, so take a few minutes to get your answer correct, because I'm going to pick the winner.
Is this a quiz?
No, it's just that I'm going to pick the winner, so there's no pressure, but you will get a prize of some description. Okay. What it'll be. From James Rideout, he's asking, for both of you, what would your champion's dinner be at the Masters? So let's imagine you win the 2024 Masters.
Yeah.
2025 comes around. Is it the Tuesday night or the Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
You're sitting there.
Or is it? No, it must be the Tuesday.
You're sitting there in your green jacket and it's your meal. Starter, main, dessert. What are you picking? To make this fur, you go starter first, then you go starter, you go main, then you go main. So you've got a bit of time to think of each one.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yes,
but
you can.
What is the history behind this Master's Meal? Like, so where does it come from?
Was it Bobby Jones that first introduced it?
I imagine so. I don't actually know the history of it. I know that every champion...
Or was it Ben Hogan?
I quite like the idea behind it.
So all the champions meet before the event and they have a dinner, and the last year's winner picks the menu. It's an opportunity for have some of the best golfers on the planet that have all got one thing in common.
Right.
Not just one, but one main thing in common. They have all won the Masters. And I think it's an opportunity for, if let's say you're quite a young golfer and you've won the jacket, you get to sit in this room with legends of the game. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I think there's quite a lot of times where it's closed doors, no one can find out about it. But some of the stories you hear about it of like iconic speeches that have taken place, whether it's Jack Nicklaus stood up there, you know, talking about, you know, the development of the game. I think it's a real, it's a bit archaic in some sense, but also steeped in tradition, steeped in history. Mm-hmm. I think it plays a really important part
as
well.
I like that. That is a tradition in golf. I actually think it's quite cool.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, and I don't want to, just check, guy, with your laptop, who set up the Masters in there. I'm pretty sure it's Ben Hogan, but that also doesn't quite sound right because that seems not the right era.
It was.
Ben Hogan.
1952. Good. So I think the Masters started in 1937 or something. Right, anyway, so
Rick,
just quickly then. So Scotty Scheffler, he went with cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, easy for me to say, tortilla soup, Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish, and then a warm chocolate chip cookie with this ice cream.
Ooh, nice.
So, Rick, come in with your starter, please.
Because you've got to please a lot of people. It's not like your last meal, right?
But I don't know. I think this is your chance to... You want to somewhat please them,
yeah.
But it's also your dinner. So you want no regrets.
Ooh. It's typically a bit of a nod to where you're from as well.
I also want to throw in a drink here as well.
Oh. So it's normally got some level of almost...
So that means Rick's going for a pie balm.
Mine's gonna be
pie bar and pints of gravy.
I love gravy, to be fair.
Right, hit me with the starter. You've had enough time to think about this. Rick, start it, go.
I am gonna go with pate.
Right, you've won. Whatever you say, you've won. You could literally say a piece of shit and you've won.
I had two things. I was gonna, yeah, that was pretty grim. I didn't know that's why you said
so
pate.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm out of that.
With lots of bread.
Bread, yeah. I'll eat the bread.
I wanted either a baked camembert with like garlic and rosemary and like warm bread, or like char siu bao or those types.
What's that one? The second one?
Like, you know, the Asian barbecue pork buns, char siu
bao. Oh, right, okay.
Like what you get at Wagamama's.
I have the beef bao buns. Yeah. But no. It will
is
be.
Is that the most like Asian place that you've ever had? Have you never been like, have you been to like Hong Kong?
No.
Okay, you need to add that to your list.
It's on the list.
We go to Wagamama's, McDonald's, and Wetherspoons.
Like Wagamama's.
Sometimes we go to Mexico and we go to the burrito place. okay, so that sounds good.
I would give that to you just by default. Yeah. It was so bad. Right, main course. Come on, Rick, redeem yourself here.
I'm going to go for... Okay.
Oh, God.
There we go. I'm nervous now.
Steak and kidney pudding with chips and curry sauce. Ketchup mandatory.
Steak and kidney?
Yeah, what's the kidney
steak,
about?
It's actual. If it was steak and ale, you'd want.
Steak and kidney pie.
No,
steak and kidney pudding. You know the little ones that are upside down.
Is kidney actually kidney?
I don't know what it is, but it's nice.
Okay, right. Right, you're close.
Disgusting.
Chips, curry sauce, covered in it, and you have to have ketchup then on the curry sauce.
If they could remove the kidney from that, I'd be very interested. Let's see if you can beat him.
Yeah, the kidney of it has kind of thrown me.
I don't think of it when I'm eating it. It's really nice.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but I love bread. So
why would we have noticed?
Because
that?
My next thing is going to be another bread,
a loaf of Warburtons.
So I was thinking of like I freaking love like a toasty.
Okay. Ooh, no, whoa. I'm all ears.
You're not allowed to be the judge of this.
Cheese and beans toasty. I mean,
I love that too.
You get it from Costa Coffee. Mwah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Mwah.
There'll be some chefs listening now,
cheese
rolling
and beans.
Their
no,
eyes.
No, they won't.
Cheesy beanie toasty. Love that. You know, they used to do the Chicago Town pizzas, like cheesy beanie Chicago.
Yes, I love Chicago Town pizzas. Tomato stuffed crust. Plug.
Yum.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
And I was thinking like a toasty. We could do like either, I don't know, I do like a tuna melt, but I also like the Brie and cranberry. It's delicious.
Wow. With like, you've got this, by the way, Jack Nicklaus is going to be in this sort of stuff.
With mini cocktails. That's
the man with curry sauce and ketchup. There you go, Jack.
This is real nice, Rick.
Yes, and like,
I don't think Gary Player would approve mine at all.
Some mini honey mustard cocktail sausages, which are hot.
Yeah, I'll put you at a draw for that one. Okay. Dessert then, come on.
Creme brulee.
You have the weirdest meal ever. I don't want to go to your final dinner.
I don't at all.
Pad say, steak and kidney puddings and creme brulee.
Everyone just swerves the dinner outside of a sandwich.
Everyone's saying, we've already eaten, Rick. I'm really sorry.
What's your dessert then?
A melt-in-the-middle chocolate pudding with vanilla ice cream with the vanilla.
Perfect. I think the only thing that would beat that for me would be sticky toffee pudding, but I'll take that all day long. Drink then. So everyone's got to drink one drink all night.
Baby beers.
I've still not tried them.
Or pints of Guinness only.
You go in.
Ginger beer.
I don't think I've ever had a ginger beer either.
Oh, it's the most amazing thing ever.
Alcoholic or not?
I just go straight ginger beer.
Sounds like it's got alcohol in it because it's called beer, but I don't know.
It's not alcohol.
No.
All right.
Fair enough.
That was like a terrible choice for me.
Somewhat underwhelming.
Get out of here.
Well, that went different to how you planned, Guy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think overall, like, I'll give it to Mia, but it's not convincing victory. It was, it's okay.
While you're both here.
Yes. It means we get sacked and didn't work for us.
I want to share something. I'm nervous.
Yes, you should be.
Very, very nervous because in less than 48 hours, I am running the London Marathon.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever been to watch it?
No.
Obviously. Don't know why I asked that stupid question.
I couldn't answer that. My response was quite weird.
If Rick hears the word marathon now, he goes aggressive and spiky. He's nervous. No.
So I've trained this week.
Yep. Which, 20 miler?
Which I've been told you shouldn't do the week before. You should have done all the training pre this.
17 weeks, 20-week plan.
But I didn't. So I crammed my marathon training in 5 days before the marathon.
Good.
I'm very, very nervous about completing it.
Can I ask you about your shoe situation?
Well, Guy recommended me some, which I've bought. And they're very, very comfortable.
Ran in them?
Yes.
Okay.
Five times.
Okay, yeah, you do need to run in them a little bit.
Yes.
But I think that they're comfy enough.
They're comfy shoes.
We're not allowed
to
name the brand on this channel, but yeah, I'm looking forward to using them.
Well, that's why the podcast is today, Friday, because we might never do another one again. This could be the last podcast ever, so.
Well, we want to take a couple of opportunities. Mia, you're not often in Manchester, so we wanted to get you on the podcast. We're doing some filming for your channel this afternoon.
Yes, which I'm very, thank you so much for agreeing to come on my little old channel.
So it's you, Jenny, and Emily.
Yep.
And golf girls on tour.
Yeah, so we call ourselves golf girls. We kind of want to redefine the term golf girls as people who genuinely love the game. We're not the greatest. We play as a scramble, so we still kind of score low. The shots that we do that are bad are freaking hilarious. Like, they are embarrassingly bad that it just makes for good content, to be quite frank.
So what's the goal this afternoon?
It's
apart
be,
from you girls to beat me.
That is the goal.
Right.
Us v. Rick Shields.
So it's you three playing scramble versus me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how many holes?
We're going to play 9 holes.
I like it.
And
we're doing the front 9 or the back 9? I was not undecided.
What golf course is it?
Mia. So Mia.
I think you've got to go back. I'd say back 9's better. Would you agree?
Really?
The back 9 is better. It just depends how busy it is. Friday afternoon, bit of sunshine out.
A few beers.
Bit
of pate. Lad on the pate.
Please, no.
on the patio eating pate. Okay,
maybe this is a question for Guy. What do you think? Same tee boxes or strokes? What do you think?
If you go off whichever tees you prefer, forward tees, and then Rick goes off whatever whites are out, and then I think that'd be a fair match. What's the ability? What's the level?
Let's just say it's pretty low.
Low handicap.
No.
The shoot's pretty low scores.
How good is Rick's golf at the moment?
Well, last time I played golf was actually at Augusta National Golf Club.
Wow.
And I've not played golf since.
How was it there?
I played really, really well, but life's changed since that. I'm a different
person. Trained for a marathon as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. My legs are really sore because I've trained. So
I think you start the game off with you on the forward tees, Rick on the whites, and just play it no stroke, but you've obviously got the fact that you've got 3 attempts every shot. and maybe see how you go a few holes. And if it's like going one way or the other, you can go, tell you what, we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's not super serious, is it?
Do you par most of the holes or not?
Well, so I've been playing some really bad golf this past week. It's like I've been possessed by a demon and she's never played golf before.
Oh.
So it's a bit tricky out there for
me. Yeah, but I've got a funny feeling today you'll just bring it. You'll just somehow turn it on.
Do you know what it is? I don't know why. None of your golf courses really have like practice areas.
Have you seen the practice area at Mia?
No.
You've been there before.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was just like putting and chipping.
No, you hit into the lake.
Oh.
It is cool.
You hit borters. You hit borters into the...
No.
You hit balls, floating golf balls, really? into the lake.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So we'll get down there early, a bit of lunch, and then you can hit balls into... It's actually quite good to start the video down there.
This is a game changer.
So you can hit plenty of shots. And we do have practice areas.
I went to a course the other day and it was just like a net.
Some don't, but most of them do.
I'm really bad if I don't
Sometimes
practice.
They're hidden, aren't they? A little bit of a walk away to drive there and park your car. Yeah, I'm interested to see how you get on.
So that's going out. That'll be going out soon as well, won't it?
Yeah,
Then the reason why then, one, we wanted to give you guys listening watching a Friday special. Mia, I thought I'd added incredible value, as you do always, and more people should follow you. Why are you pulling your face?
I'm like, yeah, incredible value.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. From
which we're paying you, you brought brilliant value.
I wish.
And then I think, let's make a decision now if we can, Guy. I don't think I'm going to be here Monday.
Okay.
Am I?
It could be quite a funny podcast.
There's no reason why you shouldn't be. But as the boss, you can do what you want. I'm joking.
The marathon.
Yeah, you know,
am I going to be able to drive Monday morning to get here?
No. So let's do a podcast Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, let's do it Tuesday to release on Wednesday.
Okay.
And if I can get in Monday, if I spring out of bed like an excited puppy and want to come in, we'll do it Monday. Yeah. If not, Tuesday to go out Wednesday.
Well, you've had a Friday treat, everyone listening and watching. That's what I'm saying. You can't really moan.
Is that what? None of you can moan.
If you do want to moan, please email at moan@rickshields.com.
Please email at mia@baker.com.
By the way, don't overdo it on like the gels. If you've never had a gel.
You don't even know what a gel is.
I've been told not the gels.
Yeah, because...
I'll tell you what I did buy, though, recently.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if I want to disclose this information, but, like, lots of cream to put places.
You do need that.
And, like...
I've seen some horror stories.
Yeah. Nipples falling off and all sorts.
I've got nipple cream.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
There's some plasters on them or
something. I bought a bum bag.
Cute.
Can
I say, bum bag.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to do it really tight. Because where do you store things?
What do you need?
Phone, charger, AirPods.
Charger?
Wallet.
You need your wallet. Just take... I mean, I've got a little thing you can
Guy, I'm going to be out there a long time. I need a full survival kit.
Pate, steak and kidney pie.
I think I might need my passport. I'm really... Yeah, I don't know what...
Have you got a time that you're trying to aim for?
I want to finish by Monday.
I want to finish alive.
I want to be able to finish the marathon on the Sunday before things start getting packed away.
Okay, what I'm going to tell you is you'll see all sorts of different things out there, like trees and rhinos. If you let a tree or a rhino beat you, that means you need to be better.
They will beat me. My plan, if I see a rhino running past, like it's a two men in a rhino suit, I'm going to jump on their back without them even knowing. And I'm just going to ride on the rhino, just waving at people. Because did you see a story recently about the woman who got disqualified for doing the ultra marathon? Fair dues.
Because she got in a car.
Yeah, that's a bit rubbish, isn't it? She got lost and got in a car. That might be me. If you see me on Sunday in London on an underground or taxi, shh. Okay, keep it hush hush.
Your adrenaline's going to be through the roof. You know how many people are watching and cheering you on?
All the way.
Yeah.
All the way en route.
All the way. Make sure you're wearing a big Rick shirt because people who don't even know you, which is wild to think, could even say, go Rick.
Well, I imagine most people don't. But yeah, it'd be quite cool.
Yeah, you've got it.
When I'm literally in a gutter, desperately begging for help. Yeah. Don't take pictures and post them online.
Please
do. When I'm just absolutely dying.
But yeah,
I'm really looking forward
it.
To it. I'm doing it for a wonderful charity. It's Never You. Make sure you do donate to charity. I'll put a link in the top line of the description. It's a charity that supports children, supports parents who have lost children to cancer. So if you can support, it'd be really appreciated. And yeah, Hopefully, I'll see you next week.
I'm excited for you.
180 podcasts done.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. Be sure to go and follow Mia Baker, golf entrepreneur, author, golf presenter, golf enthusiast.
Bread lover.
Bread lover. Future astronaut.
Oh, kind of interesting.
I think you might be the first golfer that plays on the moon. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. And we shall see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.